We live in a very topsy-turvy, changey world. There's few things in life that are consistent. One of the greatest consistencies and absolutes that we have in the world is God. Amen. He is consistently faithful.
Amen.
I'm convinced He's going to consistently bless His people. It's been predestined, it's been foreordained, it's been decreed. God is going to bless His people.
Amen.
Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. I don't know how far in this chapter I'll get. The first couple of verses of this chapter, there's three hearkens, but I'll probably just deal with the first one. I'll probably just start with the first few verses of the 51st chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah had prophesied about the chaos, about the turmoil, about the problems that Israel would experience. He was prophesying of the Babylonian captivity, about how that they would be diminished and how their nation would be destroyed. And he asked them to reflect, to remember, to consider how small they were in the beginning and how great they had become. God's people have always been a people that considered, that reflected, that looked back at where we came from. People, the great things that have transpired here at Victory Church, the great things that have transpired in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the great things that have developed, the great things that have been produced, the great things that have been done in the church of Jesus Christ has been done because of the blessings of God. And there have been occasions where we've been small, and there have been occasions where we've been great. God is going to consistently bless His people, whether they are great or whether they are small. Whether they're a great nation or they're a remnant in a Babylonian captivity environment, God is going to consistently bless those that seek Him. He says in these verses, and I just want to use these as a matter of introduction. I want us to be mindful of the fact that things change. We live in a very changing world. I'm amazed how things have changed just in my lifetime. I was talking to somebody the other day about how difficult it is to keep up with the technology. I was talking to Brother Vanderpool, and he said, well, you know, I asked him about if he had a computer. I was going to loan him some discs that I had and some information, and he said, I don't have one. And I was amazed. He still uses a typewriter. But there's been a lot of changes in technology. There's been a lot of changes in our lives. From moment to moment, from day to day, we don't know what kind of change is going to occur in our life. I mean, you just turn the corner and things can crash and burn for you.
Amen.
Yeah. And Isaiah was telling the people of Israel that this was the case with them as a nation. Though they're a great nation, they were a great rock, and they have been brought a great distance by the blessings of God that have been upon Abraham and them as a nation, things can change quickly. Things for you, my friend, can change quickly.
Amen.
You can be here today and gone tomorrow. We're very vulnerable to our circumstances, to situations around us. The church has gone through various changes. Come on now, we've gone through a lot of changes. We don't look the same as we did a few years ago. There have been changes that have occurred. But there's a certain degree of consistency. There are some things that never change. Some things that should never be altered.
Amen.
Christ never changes. God doesn't change. His word does not change. There's a consistency in the cause of Jesus Christ that never changes.
Amen.
And so in these passages, I want us to notice that he instructs them to follow. You know, we need to follow in the footsteps of our Father. We need to follow in the footsteps of those that went before us. We certainly should be following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. I was asked here a while back, somebody asked me, said, well, you know, how come people like to go to church on Wednesday nights at Victory. Why do you have such a large attendance? You know, we have perhaps one of the largest attendance of most churches, most Missionary Baptist churches anyway. Well, most churches in general on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And I was asked here recently about, you know, what's the secret? You know, how do you get people to come? And I thought about that for a few moments, and I said, well, I just do the same thing that I saw done when I was growing up. Prayer meeting was prayer meeting. You went to church to pray, to inform one another of the needs that have developed and arisen among us as a church and as a people, and you really pray about them. Amen. You go to church to study God's Word on Wednesday nights, to find out more about Jesus and learn His ways and learn His words. And also there needs to be some time for fellowship. I told this person, I said, well, that's just what I saw growing up at fellowship when I was a young boy. That's what Brother Perrigo did and the people there in that day did. And I'm just doing what they did, and it's working.
Amen.
You cannot improve upon God's way. You look in the book of Acts, and that's what they did. They came together. They had fellowship. They prayed. They studied the things of the Lord, and they followed Jesus. People, that's what we need to be doing.
Amen.
He says, hearken, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bear you, for I call him along and bless him and increase him. God said he called out Abraham, he blessed him, he increased him. Look to him, look to your forefathers, look how they were blessed, and you can receive the same blessing. Those of you that follow after righteousness, they followed after righteousness. We should be followers of righteousness today. You ask, well, what is righteousness? I'll tell you what righteousness is. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the righteous one. Amen?
Amen.
He is the holy one. He is the righteous one of whom we should be following. We should be following Jesus Christ. Listen, we don't have righteousness in and of ourselves. We have to follow after righteousness. It's obvious to me in these passages the reason the Lord's people follow after righteousness, because they don't have righteousness within them. They must pursue it, and Jesus is worthy of being pursued. We need to follow after righteousness. And if you're following after righteousness, you will be following after Jesus Christ. I contend that every person saved in the Old Testament that was following after righteousness, they were following after the Messiah.
Amen. Amen.
Mark that down. And even before the Messiah was promised, prior to the calling out of Abraham, people were following Jesus Christ. They were following after righteousness. They were seeking after righteousness. And when they sought after righteousness, the only one they were pointed to was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can go all the way back to Abel. So hang with me just a few moments. Do you realize it's better to strive to love the Lord than it is to implement some laws or rules of morality? Do you guys realize what John said? That love covers a multitude of sins. People, we ought to just love the Lord. Seek after the Lord. Follow after the Lord. Love Him. Seek after His righteousness and His goodness and His blessing upon our life.
Amen.
People, these things are consistent. They were consistently found all down through the ages of time, and it will consistently be found until the Lord comes back. Blessings are found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, look at what you've become. He asks Israel, he says, look at what you've become. Look at the rock of which you've become. How that you were taken out of the side of the mountain, or whatever the case may be. And in Israel in that day, there were huge stones that were hewn out. And he says, look at what you've become. Remember, reflect upon where you came from. What God has done in your life. Look at what God has done in the nation of Israel. Look what He's done in the church of Jesus Christ. How the have he blessed those 12 there on the shores of Galilee, amen, and sent them out. And I'll tell you what, the gospel has been brought here to Tennessee. That's miraculous to me. 12 men called out on the shores of Galilee, and they were so small in number, just 120 on the day of Pentecost. But look at what God has done. Look at the rock we've become. He says, look back and remember how you began. Look unto the ones that brought this faith to us. People, we need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen? We need to maintain these principles and these practices and carry them on into the next generation. Abraham's faith is what led to his obedience. You start examining the character of Abraham, I'll tell you what you find. You find that Abraham believed God. Amen. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Right. You'll find that he was a man of faith. What are we today? Are we believers? Are we people of faith? Don't we believe in the Lord Jesus? And through believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not also receive the imputed righteousness of God? Just like Abraham did. God is telling us that he doesn't change. The same blessings that he afforded people in the Old Testament, he can afford to us. Amen. He's been consistent in blessing his people down through the ages of time. He helped him, and he will help us. But we need to do this, what he's talking about here. He says, hearken. We need to do the hearkening. We need to do the following, amen, after righteousness. We need to keep our minds focused on Christ and his ways. We need to recognize, we need to do some recognizing and some considering how God had helped us, like it helped the nation of Israel. They were fixing to go through a profound change. And God says, I will be there like I've been in the past. Amen. We're constantly going through profound changes. It's an ever-changing world. Your lives won't be different tomorrow than what they are today. I thought about all the changes that occurred in my life. And the older I get, I guess the more sentimental I become. Oh, come on, y'all do that too. Think back how it was when we first got married. Somebody asked me this morning, well, is it like it was, you know, since your kids are gone and they've all moved out and you've got that empty nest syndrome? Is it just like it was when you first got married? Well, it's changed quite a bit. But we live in an ever-changing world. We need to be mindful of two things, two very important things. First of all, in the book of Malachi, we read that God doesn't change. He said, I am the Lord God, and I changeth not. Malachi 3:8. We need to realize that Jesus Christ, according to the 8th verse of the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the Bible says there that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There are some things that do not change. Let's look at that passage just for a few moments from the book of Hebrews while I have it on my mind. We've been studying the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night, and I encourage you to come to that. The Lord intervenes sometimes. We don't get to the book. Sometimes we get to praying, and the Lord just blessing us. But I turn over to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. I want us to notice the previous verse, because he tells them to also to remember. The book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter, God is saying there's profound changes coming, but I don't change. And you need to remember how that I've consistently blessed you as a nation. And here the Hebrew writer is saying, look, Christ Jesus does not change. And in verse 7, he also says, remember. Remember. Just like he said in verse 2 of Isaiah 51, look to Abraham, look to Sarah. Look to those of the past. And he tells us here, remember, verse 7, remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow. The word follow there is mimeo, which we get our word mimic. We need to imitate. We need to follow. Actually, it's in the imperative, which means it's a command. You follow their faith.
Amen.
That's how it is in the original. He's telling us to follow the faith of those that have spoken to us the word of God. We had some wonderful examples through the years, haven't we? Yes. And we need to follow the Lord. We don't need to be striking out some new path, some new course. We don't. God's people do not originate some new course. We follow the path that's been laid before us. Others have traveled this same path, and we need to follow it as well and travel it as well. Notice, sheep follow the shepherd, don't they? And in measure, they follow one another when they're together. Have you noticed that? You know why a lot of people go astray from the fold? It's because they lose sight of their fellow brother or their fellow sister. Sometimes we stay in the flock, in the fold, by realizing that we've got other people around us. Listen, you get out there by yourself, you'll get in trouble.
Amen.
You strike some new course on your own to try to handle situations and circumstances in your life, and you're going to fail miserably. Jesus gave us an example. He followed and he did the will of the Father. He said, I came not to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. He came to please the Father. Jesus gave us an example of being meek and teachable and surrendering to God's will. And that's what we need to do as a church and a people today.
Amen.
This is the true path of Christianity. Taught to us in God's holy word. To follow Jesus. To follow him. You know, all through the scriptures, we have this following. The commandment is given to us in the 7th verse of the 13th chapter of Hebrews. You follow their faith. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I thought of the times as we were studying in Sunday school. The various times that Jesus, you know, he would even meet James and John, and he would see them out there, Peter, Simon, and he would be out there fishing, and he would say, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew, while he was one of the tax collector, one of the apostles, he said, come follow me. You can go all through the Word of God, how that Jesus would call them out. He said in the 10th chapter of John, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Amen. We need to be following. Hearken to me, those of you that follow after righteousness. Those of us that are following after righteousness, we're following Jesus Christ. And when we're following Jesus Christ, we're going to see others before us who have been worthy of following because they followed the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. At the beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry, he spoke of him there toward the end about his glory in John chapter 21, verse 19. And then after he had spoken everything and he was fixing to be caught up, he said, follow me. One of his disciples said, well, what about this disciple? What's going to happen to him and all this? And Jesus said, look, don't worry about all that. Just follow me. Do you guys realize what could be done and accomplished in the kingdom of Jesus Christ if we would all just fall in line and follow the Lord?
Amen.
Wow. There's no telling what the Lord would do among us and in us and with us if we would just follow him. Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 7, he says, For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. You know. We've been the right kind of example. We've behaved ourselves. He said, we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He said, you know that we have been a worthy example to follow. And then he goes a little further in verse 9 of that third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. He says, you make yourself also a worthy example to follow. See, when you're following after righteousness, there's a group of us. Amen? There's a group of us. And there's on occasions, there are people that are in front of us. And we need to follow after righteousness. Why? Because the world's changing. There's a lot of changes going on that goes on in our lives. It's an ever-changing world. But Christ, listen to me, Christ never changes. His promises don't change. His word does not change. He will comfort us. And there's a comfort. In this topsy-turvy world, in this world full of craziness, in a world of chaos and delusions, we have a comfort. And that comfort is found in Christ. And one of the main comforts found in Christ is that Christ does not change.
Amen.
Wow. We serve an unchanging Christ. You know what that means to me? Hold on. You know the compassion and the love Jesus had when he was here for people? He still has it. You know the love he had for his disciples? I mean, those that were really following him. Those that he called out. And they left their boats and their nets and they followed him. You know the kind of love he had for them? He still has that love for his disciples today.
Amen.
I mean, the same Jesus that in the 13th chapter of John that loved them and served them and got a basin of water and even washed their feet. He loves his disciples that much today. He hasn't changed. Amen?
Amen.
He still loves us like that. He still loves his church like that.
Amen.
He loves his church. He loves his disciples. He loves those that work for him and are obedient to him and follow him. He blesses them and he will consistently love them and he will consistently bless them. Why? Because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's powerful, isn't it? The same love and care he had for the church 2,000 years ago, he still has today.
Amen.
The same direction and leadership that he gave them, not just care, but the same providential control and that same providential concern that he had in caring for them, protecting them, that providential protection that he had on the church back then, he still has on the church today. Tell you what, don't go mess with one of the Lord's churches. Not one single person since the church was organized that ever went against the church was able to stand. You know why? Because this kingdom will crush and it will consume all other kingdoms of the world. The Lord himself established a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. It's an everlasting kingdom. And it's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's the King. And we listen to His voice. And we march at His command. Wow. He consistently cares for us. Consistently cares for us. There's no difference whatsoever in the relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ to His people at any time. He cared for Israel. Amen? He sure did. All right. Cares for us. Do you think he cares for you like he cared for Martha and Mary when they lost Lazarus? You ever felt like them? You know, Jesus finally did arrive. And they said, Lord, if you had only been here, too late. The Lord says, I'm never too late. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Don't you believe this? Sometimes I'm like them in doubting, aren't you? Maybe not having the faith that I should have. I'm like them. I'm saying, Lord, increase my faith. But notice the love and the concern, the care. He said, our friend Lazarus is sick, even unto death. Jesus is our friend. Do you sense that? You feel that? He has the same care for us that he had for them. His care is consistent. Sometimes I get worried about tomorrow. I don't know about you. Sometimes I worry about the church tomorrow. I worry about this church a few years from now. But the same care that he has extended toward us in our lifetime in this generation, he will extend to the next generation and the next generation till he comes to take us home. Men change. Oh, how people change. Come on now. People change. I mean, sometimes you think, well, this person, you know, they'll always be this way. And lo and behold, there's something different. A few years later, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. I mean, I have been shocked. You have been too. By the way people change. But Jesus is the same. He's an absolute. He does not change. He's consistent in his care for the church. The creed has never changed. Look at the verse after this one, after verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. He says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers or strange doctrines. You know, the Word of God has never changed. The way of God has never changed. The theology has never changed. The teaching of the New Testament is sound teaching. It's just as true today as it's ever been. What he taught 2,000 years ago, what was preached 2,000 years ago, needs to be taught and preached today. Amen. It has not lost its value. It has not lost its power. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. Amen. People today scoff at the Word of God and its power. They say it's lost its power. Some even Christian groups are ignoring the Word of God. But it stands fast no matter what. It will not return void. Listen, people, theology has not been growing and developing. I read an article here recently, and it's not true, okay? It was saying, well, you know, we've had the Bible, and we've had theology, and we've had doctrine. We've had the teaching of Christ for 2,000 years. We're smarter now. We have a better, we have more technology and a better understanding. You know, the theology has always been growing and developing and maturing. No, it hasn't. Amen. We've lost ground, not gained ground. Amen. We're less indoctrinated than we've ever been as a church and as a people. Theology's not growing and developing. It's not becoming more refined, and we're not becoming more wise in it. We need to use the words of Jesus Christ. We need to shout from the hilltops the truth of Jesus Christ. As far as I'm concerned, the words he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount are some of the greatest words that have ever been spoken. You won't improve that theology. You won't improve on that preaching, because Jesus Christ was the preacher of preachers. He's the one I look to for guidance and for direction on how to preach. Amen. I want to preach like him. I don't care about other preachers. I want to preach like him. His word. words that he spoke to those men on the road and by the way of the Sea of Galilee, they're the words and the sermons that need to be preached today. What he spoke to the church of the true and living God back then needs to be spoken today. I know we have great men today and great philosophers and all this, but as far as I'm concerned, they're not a drop in the bucket in comparison to the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need preaching of the Word. Preach the Word, Timothy. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine. For the day will come when they shall not heed sound doctrine, but shall heap into themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned into fables. Watch, therefore, and endure affliction. We need to preach the Word. Amen. Amen. We're in that day. Amen. The very thing that Paul wrote Timothy about is existing today. All right, I'm going to close. You know, in our study on Wednesday night, we're in about the seventh chapter, and to kind of add to this last thought, that you can't improve on what Jesus has taught us and what Jesus has said. The Hebrew writer is going through and saying, look, Jesus is greater than all these. Amen. All these things of the Old Testament, Jesus is greater. Amen. I mean, he's greater than Abraham. He began the first verse, he said, in sundry times and divers manners. You know, God spoke to us by the prophets, but in these last times, he's spoken to us by his Son. Amen. His words are greater Amen. Than all the prophets. Amen. His words are greater than men's words today. When we get to the seventh chapter, he begins to talk about, I think I want to interject this. I thought of this morning when I was in the shower. But we're getting to the seventh chapter, and he's talking about, you know, that the priesthood of Christ is greater than the Levitical priesthood. I mean, he's greater. You know, God in the 110th Psalm said that he would set up a new order of priesthood. A priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And the Hebrew writer says, look, he wouldn't have talked about a better one, a second one, if he planned to keep the first one around forever. And he said, you know, even those Levites, they paid tithes to Melchizedek. Because Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. We're going to talk about tithing Wednesday night a little bit. Oh my. Missionary Baptist just mentioned the word tithing. Listen, if it's in the Word, you're going to get it here at Victory. If I'm pastor anyway. I'm going to preach the Word. I don't care what the fallout is. I'm going to preach the Word. So maybe that'll increase our attendance Wednesday night, huh? Invite all of you good tithers to come Wednesday night. Hear what it says. But he's greater. Jesus is greater than all these. And his words are greater. His priesthood is greater. The teaching of Jesus Christ is the greatest teaching you can ever get. He's the highest, the grandest revelation of God. Jesus is the way. I want to close. I've spoken to you a little bit about his consistent care for us. He loves us, doesn't he? Blesses us, cares for us. He's consistent in his theology. Listen, what was wrong back then is wrong today. You know, I think we ought to be consistent in our theology. Amen. We shouldn't be tossed to and fro. We shouldn't be just, you know, blown here and there. We need to be consistent on what we believe. This is what we believe. We ought to be consistent about the words of Jesus Christ and what he spoke. In closing, I want to be very clear about one final point. God's always been consistent on people getting converted. There's always been and only been one way of salvation. You ever thought about this? That when Jesus met with Nicodemus in the third chapter of John and told him he must be born again, that they were still under the old covenant? What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you that people in the Old Testament were born again.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. He's like, Nicodemus, you're somebody who's supposed to know theology and know the Jewish way and know about the way of God and the people of God, and you don't know about being born again? What's wrong with you, Nicodemus? Why did he chide him that way if he wasn't supposed to be born again? And know of it even before Jesus came. I can tell, and I can show you in the Word of God where people in the Old Testament were born again.
Amen.
Jesus always has been and always will be the only way of salvation. How it worked for them then is how it works for us now.
Amen.
Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Everybody's been saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
I know there wasn't a clarity of it like there is now. But if you ever get saved, if anybody's ever been saved, they've been saved by grace. Even under the law, they were saved by grace.
Amen.
I could show you that. I don't have time. But the gospel is the same. It causes the same kind of effect upon people today as it caused then. During our revival one night before Brother Jerry had to leave, and of course everybody knows that his son was getting married, and he had to go to Indiana for that, and the night before he left, I happened to notice we had a man in the back of the church, a man, not a boy, a girl, a man, who was putting his fingers in his ears while Brother Jerry was preaching. Stopped his ears up. You know, that's in the Bible, where sinners stopped up their ears. But I told him, I said, you're leaving me. I said, you've got them to the sinners to the point to where they're stopping up the ears. You know, their ears. You know what comes next in the Bible? He said, yeah, they usually stone the preacher. I said, yeah. I said, you're leaving. And, you know. He said, don't worry, brother. I'll be back in time for your funeral. Don't be shocked if the same thing happens today as happened back then. There are people that are cut at the heart. There are people that are not just... well, that are cut of the heart, and there are people that are pricked of the heart. You better study the difference in that. But what wounded people spiritually then is what wounds people today. What kills them and quickens them today is what killed them and quickened them then. It produces the same result today as it produced back then. Great waves of revival, I hope, will break out. I don't. I believe God has the same power today as He had back then. Don't you?
Yeah.
I really do. All right. In closing, if He's consistent in the way He saves people, have you been born again? Can you say that Christ is going to be the same for you, no matter what kind of change goes on in your life in the future? See, there's a stability here that only Christians have. There's a stability that only saved people have. I mean, you know, like the psalmist said, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we're led to a rock that's higher than us. Amen? I mean, there's no greater foundation than a person can be on than the foundation that was laid by Christ Jesus. We talk about Jesus being the rock of ages. Man, He is a rock. We're not standing on shifting sand. There are some things in our life that are sure and steadfast no matter what happens to us. Amen?
Amen?
No one can shake us off this rock. Oh, we may slip and slide and fall down on it, but we never fall off of it. Amen? Yes. How about you? Are you saved? Are you secure? Do you have this kind of consistency in your life? Do you know in whom you believe? And you're persuaded and confident and know that He's going to keep that which you have committed to Him against that day. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? We're going to sing a verse of some song. Listen, I know the possibility of change can occur tomorrow, can occur before I get home. We can be in an automobile accident. I could be dead tomorrow. I don't know. But I'll tell you where my soul's going. Amen. The one that saved me is keeping me. Amen? Amen. And he has promised me, and he's been consistent. He's been faithfully consistent thus far, and he'll be faithfully consistent in the future. I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. I've been saved by the grace of God. I repented of my sins. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been born again in the Spirit of God. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on the rock. Praise God. I'm on the rock. Are you on the rock? Is there a time and a place in your life where you found the Lord, where you were established, where that consistency came into your life? In an inconsistent world, there's only one thing that's truly consistent, and that's Christ. Know Him. Experience Him. Experience His forgiveness. As we stand